warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. I am Adam Minahan, sitting here in studio with David Niles, my co-host, the two-time Lifetime Award-winning Achievement Award.
Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah.
Twice. Twice. I won it twice, yeah.
2016 and 17.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
In 2016, really, it's like you could say maybe it was three because I won it in two categories.
Two different categories?
Yeah.
They
put both the categories on the same trophy.
What a ripoff.
Yeah. Two categories were highest in manliness and fishing.
Fishing?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, I caught a big fish that year.
This big.
I mean, that's just what the categories were.
It's phenomenal.
Fishing. Yeah, fishing. And then manliness again, 2017.
Very cool, very cool.
For a lifetime achievement of manliness, yeah.
We just got back from the Wichita Men's Conference yesterday, actually, of this recording.
Yeah. Saturday.
Saturday. It was a whole lot of fun.
Totally. It was excellent.
Yes. We gave a talk.
Burke Sivs and us hanging out.
Yeah. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Or Burke Sivs.
Or Burke Sivs if you're really close to him.
Yeah. If you're best buds.
Yeah. BFFs. it was a little bit nerve-wracking at first, Dave, because we were going to give our talk, which was on authentic brotherhood, and shout out to Rick for putting on the conference and inviting us out there. He did a great job. And Wichita is just a super Catholic town.
I have to say this when we were driving there to the conference, we passed a fast food restaurant on the kiosk. It said full Lent menu.
Yeah,
like when is the last time you saw obvious direct advertisements about, hey, it's Lent, we get it,
Catholics come here,
right? Yeah, like,
I mean, because you see everybody's
that's having, nowhere
everybody
here in Tulsa
fish fillets these days,
but right? Yeah, they're talking about, oh, fish, try our fish,
right?
And it's like, yeah, I know why you're doing that, but they don't come out and say like, hey, it's Lent,
right? Exactly. But right before we were giving our talk, or right before we got there, they said, okay, you're gonna be on Saturday at 10 a.m and we're like, okay, cool. 10 a.m. is a good spot because you don't want right after lunch because everybody's all tired and kind of groggy.
Or even right before lunch because people are kind of hungry and
they're ready.
Blood sugar's dropping.
Right. But you don't want to be like, you know, typically it'd be nice to, the 10 a.m. slot's a good slot.
I think it's maybe the best slot.
The only thing we didn't want is to follow Deacon Harold Burke Sivers,
yeah,
because he is, if you don't know who he is, he's very high intensity, extreme. His presentation is extreme.
It involves a lot of yelling at the top of his voice.
Yes. He's one of those guys that'll punch you in the stomach and then pick you back up and give you a hug and then punch you in the stomach and pick you back up and give you a hug.
Yeah. He's like a black Father Larry Richards, as he put it.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah.
So, but turns out we did. We had to give our talk right after him. So it was okay.
It went fine.
It went well.
So we were outside kind of getting ready for our talk while he's in there giving his, you know, the first talk of the day, Deacon Harold was. And it just, I can just hear this. And like just this yelling and it's like, he's just, and I made the comment, it sounds like they're getting the crap beat out of them in there.
And maybe they needed it.
Right.
But anyway, it was a whole lot of fun. The men's conference there was a whole lot of fun. If you get a chance next year, they also put on a Wichita Family Conference, Midwest Family Conference. Yeah,
the Family Conference is big.
It's really big. Mm-hmm. I think over 3,000 people came last year.
Yeah, and well, Tim Staples is there every year.
Mm-hmm. Scott Hahn is typically there.
Is he?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I thought he was usually not there.
No, he's usually there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was a whole lot of fun. So thanks guys for having us out. We got a chance to meet a lot of really, really awesome guys out there that are on fire for the Lord.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool things happening in Wichita. Mm-hmm. So it was very exciting to be there and be a part of it. Yeah. So anyway, if this is your first time listening.
And we got to see Justin Sewell, Patrick Green.
Yes.
Some of our buddies.
Yeah. And Joe and Adam, who listened to our show, they gave us a Scott or a bourbon that we'll be trying later on. Not today.
In weeks to come.
Because we have a different drink today that somebody sent us. Dave, the three things that we do every episode, if this is your first time listening, this segment, we open, review, and enjoy a man beverage that Dave just opened and he is pouring currently. The second thing we do is we highlight some kind of man gear, something that guys should want, do, need, desire, why it's manly, why there may be a virtue tied behind it, and hopefully it bleeds into our topic, which is the third thing, the final thing that we do. And the topic's typically the most manly topic here on terrestrial radio or podcasting, however you're listening currently. So, today's beer, Charlemagne, by Wiseacre Brewing, courtesy of, I'm going to let you say it.
Liam Paro.
I was going to say Liam Paro, so.
I'm just guessing.
Yeah. I'm just going to call it Leo. My bud Leo Estrada. He's a councilman member, been a supporter of the show for quite a while. So, Leo, we appreciate.
Leo the Great.
Pope Leo the 13th. Maybe, mm-hmm. maybe that's who he's named after. I don't know.
Could be.
Anyway, Leo, we appreciate you sending this over to us. So, this Charlemagne is a one-time, one-off brew. They only made it once.
Well, that was a mistake. I just tried it.
That's rude because we haven't even cheersed yet.
Well,
but I'm trying to explain.
I'm still perfecting the virtue of patience.
I can tell.
Yeah.
This is a brandy barrel aged Belgian style stout with cocoa nibs and oranges. So, we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to
Cheers
Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus.
Give Leo a toast since you've already drank.
Leo, I find your taste in beer impeccable. And may you one day stand before the impeccable God as he welcomes you into his kingdom forever.
Maybe you get to hang out with St. Bridget, who is a big fan of beer as well.
If that happens, then he will.
Right.
Because so, she's there. We know that for sure.
We know that, yes. This is a really good beer.
It's like not just chocolate. First of all, the chocolate is wow. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of times it's like, oh yeah, it's kind of chocolatey, you know, kind of like, it's like a subtle chocolate coffee, those kind of, those
flavors overlap. It's almost like a Tootsie Roll chocolate
type.
It's
like dark chocolate.
Oh, I thought it was like more of a Tootsie Roll.
See, to me, I think it's like this is not a milk chocolate. This is like a dark chocolate, almost like a bittersweet chocolate.
Okay.
But anyway, the chocolate is very very there, and it's so good.
You can taste the brandy from the barrel aged, uh-huh. brandy barrel aged.
Yeah, on the aftertaste.
Yeah, I don't get a whole lot of orange.
Me either.
I'm not getting a whole lot of oranges. But this is a fantastic beer.
Totally. They should make it again.
What, Wiseacre? Isn't Wiseacre Brewing? Hey, listen, Wiseacre.
It's not very wise of you to only make this once. Look at this bear. There's a bear on the front. Mm-hmm. That is the longest bear tongue I've ever seen.
That is true. I agree.
I wonder if there's a recipe for bear tongue. People eat cow tongue.
I know. Isn't that weird? That'd be so weird to do.
You know what? But like, I think it's good. I mean, people...
What if your Lenten sacrifice was to have cow tongue?
I don't know that it's a sacrifice. I think it's probably good.
Really? I don't know. I have no idea.
You just have to forget about the fact that you're eating
a tongue,
eating its mouth.
Right.
You know, like, don't think about kissing a cow.
Just eat it.
Right, because you're going to cook it. Because you're going to cook it.
Right. Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, don't eat the cow tongue. Like, I don't know, maybe I wouldn't go medium rare on a cow tongue. Although, let's be honest, like, we eat its butt all the time.
That's true. Okay, so Dave... Why are we drinking on air?
Well, we drink on air for a number of reasons. God made the things of this earth good, and we're simply upholding that goodness by enjoying them as such, mm-hmm. as good. Also, we want to always promote the virtue of temperance, so we always drink in moderation here on the show. Moderation is important in all things, but especially when it comes to things like alcohol, things that could be easily abused. Also, things like your cell phone.
That's true.
I hope you're using your cell phone in moderation.
Yes.
For me, I gave up games on my phone for Lent.
Like chess games and things like that.
I was playing a lot of chess.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not playing. So all you guys out there who I was playing chess against, it got out of, like, I had over 20 games going. And so I also noticed I started losing a lot of them because I was like making moves quickly.
Mm-hmm. To get through them. Dude, you know what happened? You told me that. You told me you're like, we got to hurry and play this game. You know, because you and I were in the middle of a game. And so, like, I intentionally started making really bad moves.
I noticed that. You just were, like, wasting pieces.
Yeah, I was doing that on purpose. And I was going to get down to, like, the final one and then just wait because you would end up stalling out on your turn since you weren't going to do it.
You forgot about Sunday.
Yeah, but it's only 5 days. And then the game's over. You only get 5 days after your move.
Well, I have bad news for you, my friend.
Okay.
You already lost.
Oh, I did.
Today.
Dang.
I even messaged you, said, you have 2 hours.
Oh, man.
And that was earlier today.
So my game, my plan was
backfired. Good plan, bro.
When we get back, we're going to jump into the man gear. Thanks, Leo, for this delicious beer. 9.9% alcohol from Memphis, Tennessee. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Inahan in studio. If you just joined us, you missed the warning. Warning, we're dealing with very high levels of manliness here on the Catholic Man Show. If you or anyone in the listening radius is susceptible to high levels of manliness, please be warned this show will be harmful to your health.
Listening discretion is advised.
Also, if you're a big wimp, it's not the show for you. You can't handle it.
Well, maybe you just... Very small segments. It's like virtue. You know, you have to... It's the habit of doing good.
Yeah, okay. Well, if you're a big wimp, I hope you're wearing a cup before you listen to this show.
Oh, man. Okay, so we've been drinking Charlemagne by Wiseacre Brewing, a delicious Belgian-style stout, 9% alcohol from Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you to Leo for sending it to us. Let's just jump into the man gear.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Okay.
And do we have anything else that we need to talk about beforehand that you can think of?
I tell you, I have no idea.
Okay. That's typical. That is very typical.
I live in the moment, man.
The man gear today is going to be board games. Having board games and having them for specific reasons. I decided that this is my gear for this week. And I decided it for several reasons, and I think they'll all kind of come together at the end. But one of the reasons is because, you know, we've given up a lot of things for Lent. You know, maybe TV, cell phone games.
Yeah.
A lot of times you find, oh, I have a lot more free time than what I realized I did. And board games, for whatever reason, have kind of gone out of style. I think, I don't know why, but it seems like the board games don't get played very much
anymore.
They're
so old-fashioned, man.
I guess so, but...
They don't even take batteries, most of them.
But let me tell you, some of my fondest memories that I have growing up was my family sitting down and playing board games together.
Like cheating at Monopoly.
Dude, I hate Monopoly. Dude, I don't have 4.5 hours.
I don't know anybody who likes Monopoly, but everybody plays it. Or, you know, used to play. Everybody has a history of playing Monopoly.
I know, dude, but...
But nobody has ever finished... Ever.
It has
never happened. if you like read the rules, I don't even know if there's like a rule for finishing. Because it's like one guy has to take everything from everybody. Like you have to.
If you're out, if you don't have any more money, you lose.
Or you can just keep mortgaging properties, and it's like
you end up losing.
Well, you can mortgage your properties to pay for stuff.
Yeah, but you end up eventually. But
do you know how long it takes?
Yeah, I know. It's like that's what I said.
So you get $200 every time you go around.
Right. So your family played a lot of board games. In fact, when our families vacationed together, we would play board games.
Yeah. So personally, I like card games a lot. I'm a big card game guy.
Me too.
But Pamela and I. You know, like one thing, it's like we don't like to just always, like, you know, we read a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We used to watch more movies, you know, when, like, we kind of got married, we would just like, all right, the kids are down or the kid is down.
Right.
Let's watch a movie or something. And then, you know, we kind of like, well, after a while, you want to do something else.
And there's just not a lot of good movies out there.
Well, there, you know what there's even fewer of is good two-player games. That are made for only two people, or that can be easily played with only two people. Most of them is like three or four people.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So we played a lot of Gin Rummy for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went on this like winning streak.
And you're like, I'm not playing it anymore. I was like,
forget this game.
I hate this game.
Stupid game. Who even wanted to play this? Oh, I did. Well, it was a dumb idea.
Yeah.
I do not like to lose at card games.
I don't either. So we used to play spades a whole lot in our family.
Yeah, spades. Spades is intense.
Spades is a game that we played a whole lot of. And I can remember for a while there, we'd do the blind kneel, which I don't know. Do you remember blind kneel?
No.
So kneel is you don't want to catch any points. Blind kneel is saying before I even look at my cards, I'm going kneel. And
is it kneel or nil?
We just said kneel. I don't know. Maybe it's nil.
Okay.
Anyway.
How do you spell it?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Going nil is 100 points. Going blind nil is 200. You know, so, but we ended up cutting that out, the blind nil, because it would just be like, okay, we're just going to go blind nil every single hand. You know, because if you go down at 200, you know, you would end up hitting the blind nil maybe 50% of the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, if you're really good at playing spades and you were being able to kind of almost count the cards, but not quite count the cards, you know?
Yeah.
And so we stopped doing that. But before we did, we got into this really intense game. And it was me and my mom and Kaylin and my dad. And Kaylin would get so nervous about not playing the right card. It's like, listen, I played a three. If I play a three, that means you should play this. Like, I'm telling you to play this card. Like, I lead, you follow every time.
Yeah.
And she went blind kneel, and she picked up her cards, and I could just see her eyes just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then, like, we just started playing, and she saw him playing, you know, I'm playing this card. That means you play this card, you know, and her eyes just start welling up. She was like, Daddy, I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm not going to be able to make it. And like started crying, and it turns out she had the ace, king, queen, jack, and 10 of spades, which are like, you know, the trump card. I mean, it's like you can't beat those cards.
What are you supposed to do?
Yeah. Right. So anyway, it was just a really funny moment because my dad was always very, you know, tactical in the way he played, and he was trying to teach, you know, and he would kind of get on to you if you didn't play the right card because he's trying to teach you like this is how you play. So pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my sister was like, it's just not going to happen, Dad. It's just not going to happen. And he was like, it's okay. It's okay. You know, but it was just really funny.
So this last year in Michigan on our vacation, we played Skip Bo on teams. And that's another thing where it's like, you know, it's your turn, but you can play off my discard pile.
Right.
But don't you, it's like, if you're going to, but if it's not your turn, you're not allowed to say anything to your teammates.
Right.
And so it's like, don't you dare play something out of my discard pile that achieves nothing.
Right.
Or it's like, there's your stack that we're trying to get rid of. There's a five, and you're playing my five over here, you know, like,
right.
Stop it.
Yeah. Have you ever played the game Sequence?
Yes. Pamela is like a ninja.
At Sequence?
Oh, wait. No, she's a ninja at Quirkle.
Oh, okay. I don't know that one.
Quirkle is always is also a two-player game. And I've never seen her lose.
Well, Sequence is it's a really fun board
Sequence
game.
Sequence is like the XO square. Like, well,
it's, it's cards cut up on a board, and you play like poker chips on
yes.
it.
Yes. Yeah, I have played it.
Yeah. It's a really fun game. And if you have more than four people, you can play with more than four people. I mean, it's,
yeah, yeah.
Anyway, it's a really fun game. That's a game that we played a lot growing up as a family as well. But, you know, we're sitting here talking about these things that happened 15, 20 years ago. And so that's why I think this, like a board game is something that's important to mm-hmm. have as a family, because it builds a tradition. It builds family traditions and family yeah. memories.
Yeah. So I
that's
think,
why, hold on, I'm going to let you go. But this is why I'm more of a fan of board games than like we did movies the other weekend.
Yeah.
And this is why I'm more like, maybe I wasn't super pumped about the movie gig idea, because even if you go see a movie with your family, which is a good thing. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But I don't ever recollect, hey, do you remember that time we went out to a movie together and we watched this movie and how much fun we had? Like, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
The things I remember was, hey, remember when we sat down at the table and I whooped the crap out of you in spades? You know, like, you know, you guys were negative by the end of the game, you know, or you know, you know.
That's good family time right
That's
there.
That's right. Or just, you know, spending time.
And you didn't talk to me for 2 days. Remember right. that?
Remember how fun that was?
Yeah.
Or
that was good for our relationship. Well, first of all, this is not a comparison. I mean, it's not like which is. It's
no,
not a,
it's not. Yeah. But that's why I just am more of a fan of board games in general.
Sure. Yeah. One thing that's like, I'm not sure why board games don't seem to be as popular these days. I think it's just because they're not digital, and it's like, it's more fun to play a digital, let's play video games.
Mm-hmm.
But board games make you learn strategy
mm-hmm.
and, you know, like thinking ahead. Video games, all you learn to do is react quickly. You know, what's your reflex time?
Yeah. Hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, exactly. Which, okay, that, I mean, sure, that's good too. I like right. video games. I don't play
you
them
don't
like I used to.
Like, but you don't talk about it as much.
Sure. And it depends on the board game. Pamela and I, so we were from our buddies, the Graylesses, they just gave us a game called Epidemic.
Okay.
And it's interesting because everybody plays on the same team against the board.
That is an interesting
right.
game.
And so it's like there's an outbreak mm-hmm. go in the world. And like after your turn, you know, these things happen. And more cities get infected constantly, so you're always having to like work together against the board.
That's a cool game.
And it was the first game I've played like that.
Do you ever play Taboo?
Oh yeah,
dude, that's a fun game.
Yeah, buzzer.
Yeah, anytime that you like have to get up and act something out or something like that, because it always brings laughter. It yeah. always brings like people laughing at each other, and you know.
Although some people just won't play games like that.
I know.
You know, and. You know, that's fine, okay. That's their prerogative.
Right. But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. So I think that board games are important to build these family relations, to build these family memories. Even like Luke right now, I taught Luke how to play War with cards.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves playing, you know, and it's just something that we start playing together. And he wants to learn how to play and play by the rules.
Yeah.
Which is something that we're going to be talking about in the next segment, somewhat. We're going to be talking about Catholic liturgy. So, anyway, we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. David Niles here. We're going to be talking about the Catholic liturgy. This is kind of I'm going to start off by saying, some people, when we're going to be talking about the norms of the liturgy, there's some people who have strong, very strong opinions.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with either the way they were brought up just, or culturally, or so Dave and I are not experts in either canon law or liturgy. We didn't have any kind of degrees in that. We're not downgrading anybody who, you know.
Yeah, so let's just encourage everybody to, like, before we start this, just take a deep breath. And if we say something that you don't like, it's going to be okay.
We're going to be okay.
And you are going to be okay.
And I know there's some priests out there that listen to our show, and if you disagree with us, that's okay. I mean, I'm not trying to knock anything that happens moving forward. I'm just hopefully just talking about what the general instruction of the Roman Missal is talking about, what the Code of Canon Law and, like, what other priests and bishops have said about the liturgy. Mm-hmm. Moving forward.
Correct.
So, yeah. And then kind of giving our commentary on it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Which is not infallible. At least yours isn't.
If you're, if you are interested in this, there's a really good podcast out there called The Liturgy Guys.
It's my favorite one. It's probably, maybe my favorite podcast right now.
Outside of ours.
Well, right.
Or maybe it is better than ours.
Well.
I mean, it's.
That. Could be.
Could be. I mean, maybe it is your favorite.
Well, because, let's see, on their podcast, they have two experts and a funny guy, okay?
Right. And we just have...
We just have a bunch, like, couple funny guys.
Yeah.
And you're only kind of funny.
But I'm good looking. We're both good looking. Dang it. Fine. Okay, fine. I'm just kind of funny, and that's it. Okay, so anyway,
but you are kind of funny.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be a negative thing. You're kind of funny.
I'm kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of a funny guy.
Yeah, you're kind of funny, yeah.
This guy. Anyway, so let's talk about the Catholic liturgy. I think
which is not funny.
Which is serious.
The Catholic liturgy is, don't laugh.
You know, we were talking about board games last time. You got to play by the rules. And yes. So I think that hopefully that kind of bleeds into what we're talking about here.
So that's why they're important. You learn to play by the rules.
Right.
So that when you go out into other things, you know, you don't have a problem with following the rules.
Right.
You understand. Because if you don't play by the rules, you cannot win.
Right. And so I think that here's one of the things that I hear a lot of times when we're talking about the liturgy. I hear people saying, like, listen, I get it that we don't all agree on it, but this isn't a battle that's worth fighting right now. We have bigger battles. And I agree that we have bigger battles than some of the topics that we're going to talk about. However,
I think that's bad logic.
Well, I do agree that there's bigger problems in the Catholic Church than what we're about to talk about.
Sure, but however, that doesn't mean they're not worth fighting.
Right, because we're talking about the way we worship our Creator and how He gave the authority to the Church, and the Church has said this is how, based on the authority that we've been given, this is how we are to worship God Almighty. And so I think that there is some validity there that we need to pay attention to and make sure that we kind of all at least know about these things, so that way we can teach our kids, that way we can teach, you know, our family, and have somewhat of an idea of here's why we do this.
Yeah. So anyway, did we say what the podcast is? Did we say the
Liturgy Guys?
Yes. Yeah, we said that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you been thinking that for this whole time that I've been talking?
No.
Okay.
I say things pretty much as soon as I think of them.
Okay.
So, like I said, patience just not perfected yet.
So let's first talk about, this is a super easy one, and I think we can fly through it pretty quick, but I think it's important to talk about genuflecting.
Okay.
Because I've seen, and I want to get your take on this also, because I've seen guys do several things.
Okay.
The general instructions of the Roman Missal, the germ.
The germ.
G-I-R-M. Right. G-I-R-M. If you look at number 274, it talks about...
I want to do it.
You have yours right there. It talks about exactly how to... A genuflection made by bending the right knee to the ground signifies adoration and therefore is reserved for the most blessed sacrament, as well as the Holy Cross on a solemn adoration during the liturgical celebration on Good Friday until the beginning of Easter Vigil. So it says the right knee to the ground. Okay. So recently I don't see a lot of guys doing the left knee. I don't think a lot of people do that.
Well, it's improper.
Right.
The left knee is for royalty,
right?
You genuflect to a royalty, king or queen. But the right knee was reserved for God.
Right. So, but recently, at least maybe I'm just being a bit observant, but recently I've seen, like, in adoration and stuff, people going down on both knees,
mm-hmm.
making the sign of the cross.
Correct.
And then getting back up.
Yes.
As a genuflection.
It's not a genuflect.
It's not.
No, and it is. It used to be required by the church when the Blessed Sacrament was exposed to go down on both knees, but is no longer required.
But they're subbing this out for the genuflecting.
No. It's a different thing, only to be done when the Most Blessed Sacrament is exposed in the monstrance. Monstrance. Okay. Yeah. So that's a different thing.
Okay. Yeah. See, I didn't know that.
And it's still a good thing to do. So,
well, I mean, it's not going to be a bad thing to do.
No. So it used to be a thing that, like, yes, if you walked in front of the, in front of, you know, an adoration, the monstrance, then you would have got down on both knees,
mm-hmm.
and then got back up. You wouldn't do it just, walk into the sanctuary if the Eucharist is in the tabernacle. Okay. So that is a different thing.
Okay. But, so how I teach my sons to do this, really quick, I say, you go down on the knee like a soldier. You go down there hard. You know, I don't like these wimpy, like, half bends of the knee with a quick sign of the cross. I say, you go down there hard. You make sure your knee touches the ground. You make a strong sign of the cross, and you get back up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how, because I just don't like the whole halfway. And I know there's some people that do it because of health reasons and things like that.
Sure, I'm not saying, if you're old, I mean, you do your best.
But, I mean, like, guys, if we're going to do it, let's do it right.
Also, making the sign of the cross is actually not part of a genuflecting.
Right.
It's a good thing to, it's a good thing to do. It feels natural, I think. It's, you know, yeah. like you're doing it. Go ahead and bless yourself.
Right.
Because that's what the sign of the cross is.
Okay, so I just wanted to, like, get that one out of the way, because I thought we could talk about that pretty quick.
Yeah.
Let's go into...
One time, this is a funny story.
Okay.
Walking into a movie theater with my family, and I turn around and see my little sister Rebecca. Before she walks into the aisle, she genuflected and then walked, like, to her seat in the movie theater, and she, like, we all start laughing, and we're like, Becca, did you genuflect? And she's like, oh, I think I did. Oh no.
Dude, today when we were at Mass, Jude had to get a Kleenex because his nose was crazy and we didn't have a Kleenex, so Haley took him out to go blow his nose. Jude genuflects but didn't get a chance to say amen, because he makes the sign of the cross and says amen in his genuflect. And Haley was like, come on, let's go, because she was just trying to hurry him up. Well, he kind of got into that fit of rage, like, I didn't get to finish, you know, I want to finish. And Haley realized, like, if I fight, this isn't a battle worth fighting,
right?
You know, if I fight this, he's just going to kind of melt down. I'm going to let him do it. And so she said, okay, go genuflect. And they were in the back of the church. I'm in the pew with Luke, and I'm trying to make sure he's doing okay. And all of a sudden, I see this little boy running down the front. He goes all the way almost to the front, genuflex, goes down on both knees, makes the sign of the cross, bows his head like in a quick nod, says amen, and then runs back to the back of the church. I was like, oh man, that was embarrassing. That was kind of embarrassing. I mean, it's funny, but
most people probably liked it. Like, yes,
yeah, it was
amen to that. Amen to you, son.
It was right when the priest was washing his hands and he went down, amen, and walked back. Anyway,
what if you had to yell your amen like all the time? Amen.
I don't know. Okay, so let's talk about silence. Because you're just saying, yelling amen.
Okay.
That's a good one to talk about really fast, if we can.
Pet peeve of mine.
This is a bit, yeah. Okay, go ahead. I'll let you expound on it. I'm going to pull it up on the germ.
Okay, so at our parish, we have a big parish, mm-hmm. okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is more common in big parishes. We have more people in the sanctuary. But as soon as Mass is over, the song stops and the conversation erupts. It's almost loud in there.
Not almost.
I kneel down when Mass is over and pray
mm-hmm.
after Mass for just a couple minutes, you know? Right. And it bothers me that people, it seems like they have totally forgotten
what just happened.
Or that Jesus is still in the tabernacle.
Right.
That here you are in the sanctuary, treating it like the common area. And at our parish, we have a large, beautiful common area right outside the sanctuary,
right.
You know, which is a fantastic gathering place. But you can't even wait
Right.
2 minutes to get outside. Sometimes I've been praying and people have come up to me and start talking to me while I'm praying. While I'm kneeling praying. It's like,
same here. In the German, on number 56, it says the liturgy of the word is to be celebrated in such a way as to favor meditation. And so basically talking about the, you know, if it's favoring meditation, it should be quiet.
Yeah. And it doesn't say something about being silenced before, during, and after the celebration.
Yes, it does. It says, that's receiving Holy Communion. I'm sorry.
Well, anyway, right here. I think it does.
Yeah, it does. I'm 45. Celebrates, it's a praiseworthy practice to be silenced, to observe in the church, in the sacristy, in the vesting room, and in adjacent areas before and after Mass. That's number 45. So, just remember that Jesus is still there. Let's honor that. And then when we get back, we're going to talk about another very controversial topic.
Holding hands at the Our Father.
Joe Q, hang on. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Man show. I have to tell you something. This beer is delicious.
Charlemagne Wiseacre Brewing.
Isn't it good?
From Memphis, Tennessee. Yes, it is. Brandy barrel aged Belgian style stout.
I've been trying to drink it slowly.
They only made it once. So I was Leo over Estrada, thank you very much.
I was over at our buddy Jay Thomas's house this evening.
Yeah.
We had both of the Nersha beers.
Oh,
the I say both. I don't know that they're...
Did you have the blonde?
The blonde.
And the blue label?
Yes.
I forget what the blue label is, but it's their staple. Yeah. The blue label is their staple.
Yeah. We had both.
That's awesome.
Blonde first,
you know,
obviously.
We've had it on the show.
Yeah.
We had it shipped here.
I don't remember what the blue one is.
I think it's their Belgian ale.
Yeah, it's like their...
Brown ale, I think.
Abbey style ale.
Yeah. I'm going to sound stupid because I can't remember this.
Well, it's the blue one.
Yeah.
Blue. Yeah. Anyway, so we're talking about the liturgy.
Yes.
And, you know, I like the board game as the man gear about following the rules. Mm-hmm. There are rules. And the church has given us guidelines in how to best worship in the liturgy.
Mm-hmm.
And the liturgy is not something for us to experiment with. Mess around with, to try to get it right.
Personalize it. You already can't personalize the liturgy.
Right. Because it's our worship of the Father. You know, it's the community's worship.
Mm-hmm.
It's your worship too. You know, there's the personal side of it, but it's ours. It's for us. It's for the church. And the church's wisdom has given us these guiding principles.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And they're not for us to change.
Correct. Before we get into the holding hands of the Our Father, really fast, the Liturgical Institute put out something, a video about, and a priest was talking about right before you receive communion. And, you know, you're supposed to say, before you receive communion, you're supposed to say amen, and or you're supposed to bow before the body of Christ, and you say amen, right? And you can receive on the tongue or the hands. Well, you're supposed to bow. Right, that is what the USCCB has told us to do.
What if you're using an altar rail?
Well, that's different.
Okay, so if you're kneeling at an altar rail, then there's no bowing. And sometimes, like if you go to a Latin mass, mm-hmm. they don't say anything.
Right, you just receive it.
Right.
Okay, but my point is they said, well, what about genuflecting? Because genuflecting is actually more reverent than bowing. You know. In the scale.
Sure.
And he said, I agree. I agree that genuflecting is more reverent. However, because of the obedience to the bishops, they've told us to bow, and thus you should bow.
Yeah.
And he said that because he said, I agree. I think that genuflecting would be better. More reverent is what he said personally.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, that doesn't matter what I personally think, because the bishops have already given us given us a guideline, and they said to bow.
Right.
And so
not everything in the liturgy is about what is the most reverent thing we could do. Because it would be more reverent if we all prostrated ourselves face down before we received.
Right.
Okay? That would be the most reverent posture we could take.
Mm-hmm.
But there is also the element of what is practical.
Right. Because, and the Mass is supposed to be in a timely manner. It's supposed to have
a good flow. To be a natural flow. Right. So, because if you were to like stop the liturgy, you know, so that we could just, communion would take forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that would really interrupt the flow of the Mass. And there is supposed to be a natural progression, you know? And so my guess is that if we were to all genuflect before we received, then
it would slow things down.
Right. And the obedience thing, Christ values obedience more than most things.
Mm-hmm.
Few things are worth more in his eyes than obedience.
Read Faustina's diary.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, okay, let's get into the elephant in the room, the holding hands. Because to me, and I don't know, it just seems like if you look at the Catholic blogosphere and Catholic social media, that it seems like every two to three months, there's a new blog out that says, you know, basically the same thing that the 13,000 other blogs have said about the Our Father, and that it's always one way or the other.
Yeah.
Okay, so... This is what it says. It says the practice of holding hands during the Our Father must be repudiated.
What says this?
This is what Ida B. Tien has said, based off of what is in the rubrics.
So this is on their website.
Yes, okay. This is off their website, based on the rubrics of the Mass. It says the practice must be repudiated. It is a liturgical gesture introduced spontaneously on a personal initiative. It is not in the rubrics. Anything not in the rubrics is unlawful, again, because no other person may add anything to the liturgy on his authority.
Right. So the question is, can you hold hands with the person next to you? Yes. Inasmuch as you could hold hands with them at any other time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So can you hold hands during the Our Father? Absolutely. But should it be a thing that people do? Oh, we hold hands during the Our Father, almost as if it's part of the liturgy. You know, like, oh, we stand for the prayers of the faithful.
Right.
We hold hands during the Our Father.
Right.
You know, that is it shouldn't be that way.
Right.
And I think most people think you're supposed to hold hands during the Our Father.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's not a huge thing that people do it.
Right.
But it shouldn't be done as a rule.
Right. And I struggle with it, Dave, because I agree. And I personally, me and my family, we don't hold hands during the Our Father.
Right.
Unless it is just going to make things so awkward because somebody's sitting here with their hand way out trying to hold my hand, to the point of it's going to be a distraction or like... where my family is highlighted because of what we're doing.
Right.
I don't want that to happen because it's not about us.
Yeah.
So I've told Haley and our kids, like, we don't hold hands during the Our Father unless you see Dad holding hands. Because that way they don't have to make the judgment call.
Yeah.
I'll just make that judgment call. And if I hold the hands of the person next to me, because I feel like I don't want to be in the spotlight or it'll be a distraction to everybody that we're not holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we don't hold hands.
I always just close my eyes and put my hands together before the other person even has a chance to reach. So it's like,
right.
If they look over and reach a hand out, I've already have my hands, eyes closed, my head bowed.
Mm-hmm.
But I did recently hold a hand, but it was because it was a small kid.
Right.
And I could tell like he was, you know, like
excited.
Excited. And right. I didn't want to like crush his hopes and dreams.
Right.
You know, and.
So I struggle with it because it's like, it's become such a. I don't know if it's a cultural norm. I don't know if it's just like culturally here in the U.S.
It is. I think it's just in the U.S. That people do it.
You've been to Rome and stuff.
They didn't. I mean, like. The times that we went to Mass in Rome, though, it was kind of like people just standing, and it was like, it was a kind of just a big room.
Okay.
And like,
but did they hold hands? During the Our Father?
The American tourists that I were with did.
What about the people who were there?
I don't know.
Okay. So,
but I think it's kind of weird.
Well, I do too. But I mean, the
reason... But only because I know it's not a thing, and it's like, why are you trying to hold my hand, bro?
Well, the reason why is because it's supposed to be like a communal prayer, like community thing. But,
right.
But what they don't get, or maybe what we don't think about, is that when we're really in communion, when we receive communion.
Right. And it's an improper sign of unity in that it takes place prior to the actual sign of unity.
Right.
If it were to take place after we had received communion, it would be more proper with the respect of our actual communion, in that now we have received communion, the Eucharist, which is our actual participation as a community, mm-hmm. and our real unity. Now let's hold hands as a sign of what we have already received. But so that, I mean, it's like, doesn't even matter. But that, just in the nature of the sign of the liturgy, it's improper.
Right.
In that way.
And I know there's going to be people upset about this, because...
You guys can hold hands if you want.
Right.
But it's not part of the liturgy.
Right.
You can't make it part of the liturgy. But if you want to hold hands with the dude next to you, go ahead. I mean, like, really, I don't care.
Right. It's not something that I'm more like, I'm not judging you because you're holding hands with somebody.
It's not going to make the mass illicit.
Right.
Or whatever. Anyway.
Do you want to talk about Orion's posture? Imitation.
Yeah. So you're imitating the Orion's posture,
mm-hmm.
which is something that only the priest
what
does.
What is that?
It's when the priest stands with his hands out.
Right. So when you raise your hands.
To the side.
You know, a lot of times when they say, we lift up our hearts, we lift them up to the Lord. And mm-hmm. and then people like raise their hands up.
Or after they're already holding hands, yeah. and they lift them, yeah.
Yeah. That is the Orion's posture.
Right, yeah. So if you like lift your hands up, palms up, mm-hmm. that's the Orion's posture. And it's only a priestly posture. The laity is never supposed to do it.
Yeah, the rubrics for the Mass gives the priest sole authority for praying with elevated hands. It's not even for the deacons or the laity.
Finally, let's get to clapping.
Okay, clapping. Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, Pope Emeritus Benedict, said in his book, The Spirit of the Liturgy, whenever applause breaks out in the liturgy because of some human achievement, it is a sure sign that the essence of liturgy has totally despaired and has...
Disappeared,
and been replaced by a kind of religious entertainment.
Right, so if it's something, you know, like, oh, yay, it's your birthday, let's clap. Don't do that. Don't
right.
clap.
Right.
But if it's, hey, someone just received a sacrament, by all means. So if it depends on
ordination,
is it God's work that we're applauding?
Matrimony.
Yeah, or is it man's work?
Right. So anyway, there's going to be some of you that are going to be upset with this podcast. Some of you that will be okay about it. Some of you will be pumped. Thank you to Leo for the beer.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to Jesus. Mm-hmm.